Blog Talk Radio.
I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father.
Good evening and hello to you wonderful listeners. How wonderful and what a blessing and a privilege to be able to come into your homes or wherever you are listening to us. This is Prophetess Mwaka from Dallas, Texas, bringing you greetings from Sunshine, Texas. Hope it is nice and warm. Wherever you are calling in from, this is our solutions program here every Tuesday, 10 p.m. on Zambia Blog Talk Radio. And this is a program that was started almost a year and a half ago. I'm primarily dealing with relationships and love and marriage from a biblical perspective, but we do deal with other topics. If this is your first time, a very, very warm welcome to you. We are on every Tuesday, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Like our page on Facebook, Solutions Radio. And we are just so blessed by the many wonderful guests we've had from all over the world, different parts, and all of them have just been so sincere and just opening up their hearts, and it's been just a very enriching journey. And this evening, we are excited again to be having the wonderful Minister Dorothy Mashira all the way from Sacramento, California. I know many of you text and called and said she has to come back again, and I agree with you. So we started a series last Tuesday on young movers and shakers, and that is basically people who are making a difference in our generation, people who are making a difference in our cities, in America. And we agree that Miss Dorothy is definitely one of those. But before I welcome her, I just want to make an announcement, and you've been hearing me inviting you all to our 10th annual Spring Prophetic Conference to be held Easter weekend, April the 17th to the 20th, right here in beautiful Dallas, Texas. This is our 10th, so it's also the ministerial anniversary, celebrating the prophetic ministry that God birthed through me 10 years ago in Boston, Massachusetts, and for the last 10 years, it has been an honor and just a very humbling experience to see God changing lives. You know, beloved, all God needs is an available vessel, not somebody perfect, not somebody with 10 Bible degrees, but somebody available and sincere. And when the Lord called me 10 years ago, I basically said, Lord, here I am, wherever you send me, I will go. And just the testimonies are just very, very incredible. I mean, ministries burst, businesses burst, marriages strengthened, people going back to school, spiritual revivals. I mean, many, many testimonies to the glory of our God. And that is the gospel. It is good news. And so this 10th annual prophetic conference is not just a conference, but also a celebration. And we are just blessed to have a very distinguished panel of speakers. Bishop Eli Jacobs from right here in Dallas, Texas. Our very good friend, Dr. Abed Bwanika from the beautiful nation of Uganda. He is also the future president of Uganda, and I'm not kidding. He says it. He's campaigned before, and he is going to campaign again. So we thank God that God is connecting us with people of high caliber. Dr. Nervous Mumba from my nation, Zambia. And as I've said before, he's a great preacher, but he also has great governmental grace. He's been our ambassador to Canada. He's also been our vice president. So he has tremendous favor both in the kingdom and in the secular world. And I really believe in this season we are in, God's people, our tongues and our anointing is not just for the four walls of the church. It is for the marketplace. It is for government. It is for the world. They need what we have. We are the light. And so I'm really excited about this. These speakers with this great governmental grace. Of course, Prophetess Sarah Morgan from beautiful sunny California. She's been a part of these conferences for a while now. And everybody is super excited about Prophetess Beverly Angel from the nation of Zimbabwe. She is incredible, awesome. Many of you know her husband, Prophet Hubert Angel, who is really one of the end-time prophets of our generation, prophesied accurately concerning the Westgate terror mall before it happened, not after, before. Actually, he gave many warnings and, you know, really kept telling everywhere he went, he kept saying, we need to pray for Kenya. So that really put him on the map. And so we have this great panel, and just, you don't want to miss. The conference is free, but you do need to register for the prophetic breakfast, because we're not going to be doing registration during the conference. The conference is free, but you do need to register for the breakfast, and you can go on our website, www.fresharomaministry.org. And we are also blessed to have Brenda Ellis as one of our conference psalmists, Fred Obare, who is just an amazing man of God, Benita Atterbury, our very own conference praise team, which consists of worship leaders from all over Dallas, the Voice of Africa, the Miracle Boys, Apostle Darius, my beloved, will be there. Prophetess Mwaka will be there. And we hope you will be there from North Carolina, from Delaware, Maryland, Boston, Houston, Sacramento. You got to be there. It is going to be quite a time. So that is my personal invitation to you. Mark your calendars, April the 17th to the 20th. Please make my day. Give me a Christmas gift in April and let me see you. You know, people don't realize how important their presence is. Your presence means the world, because your presence is basically saying, we love you, we support you, we believe in you. So give me a Christmas gift in April. Your presence, even if everybody else comes, if you don't come, or the celebration won't be the same. So know that you make a difference. We value your presence. We appreciate your partnership. Thank you for standing with us all these years. So that was my little television announcement. And now, drum roll, so excited to have my beautiful friend, the multi-talented gospel recording artist. I tell you, she is sincere, she is passionate, she is just sold out for God, but she is so real, and this is why we can hang. I just love people who are real. I mean, there's just no beating around the bush. What you see is what you get, and we are just so grateful for the gift of God of Minister Dorothy Mashira Kimani from Sacramento, California. Are you on the line this evening?
I am here.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for coming back to your busy schedule.
Well, thank you for having me. My God, after all the titles that you mentioned, I am very intimidated right now.
I didn't even finish, Dorothy. I didn't want the people to be
Well, I am glad you didn't finish because I was trying to look for my certificates, you know, to get a title in there somewhere.
Dorothy, we love your passion for life. We love your enthusiasm. We love that you're so real. And even,
Thank you.
Last Tuesday when you shared, I tell you, my phone was blowing up, my inbox on Facebook. You really blessed people, not just from Kenya. We had people from Zimbabwe, Zambia, Uganda. And, you know, even after the show, people go online to listen. So you just blessed many, many people from many nations.
Glory to God.
Yes, yes, yes. So how have you been since last week? What's been happening? How is your wonderful husband, Kimani, and the boys, and work, and ministry, and how do you balance all that?
My wonderful husband is absolutely fabulous, and we are so, so sorry that I actually booked him before talking to him, and he had a board meeting tonight, and he was not going to be done until 8 o'clock tonight. So I made him promise me that if he was done before the show was over, he was going to call if he had to pull over to this side of the road because I told him that you were expecting him. The boys are definitely great. The ministry, you know, continues, and we're serving God. You know, that's all I can say. We are fired up, and we pray that the fire keeps going.
How do you balance it all? I mean, you're a nurse, you're a wife, you're a mother, you're an entrepreneur, you do media, I mean, and you're a worship leader, you minister. How do you balance it all?
You know, that I have been asked that question, and it actually makes me sound busier than I really am, because I think as women, we're made to multitask. You know, today I got off work. I went and picked up my son. We did some homework, did some dinner. Then I told him, you know, mommy has radio tonight. So between 8 and 9 o'clock, I don't want anybody knocking on my door, you know. So I think it's really, it's become a part of my life. And my kids know that when I'm on radio, because we actually get to listen to these podcasts when we're driving, you know, back and forth from school. And they'll be like, mommy, that's you. That's your voice on radio. So I don't really think it's difficult. It's become my life. So it really is not hard at all.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, just like you, you know, I mean, I could ask you how you're able to blog trot, you know, and still keep a man happy, have some beautiful kids, you know.
I should... When the twins were born, that is like suddenly everybody discovered me, because when they were born is when the invitations were coming left, right, and center. I'm like, hello. I mean, why didn't you do it when, you know, it was the boys, now with the twins? I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
But it's amazing when you love something, God just gives you grace. God gives you grace.
Mm-hmm. He sure does. He sure does. There's no struggle.
You know, we live in such a social media world, and our world has become so technological. Tell us about your journey in media and what God is doing through you.
You know, obviously, I have been ministering under the Talanta Show, which we celebrated our first year about 2 weekends ago. And I have seen really the hand of God in obviously, like you said, my honesty. And obviously my honesty, like we talked about last week, has taken quite a few people by surprise, because there are some things my own mother has learned on radio. But I remember, this is one thing that I didn't tell you, that a few years ago, somebody that was very close to me got a hold of my diary. And I've kept a diary since I was in standard 5. You know, and as I grew up, my diary grew up with me. When I went into the world, my diary went with me. And I had some very explicit material in this diary that I would have, you know, I would have let an arm go for it never to get out. And my diary was actually, well, I was in ministry. You know, God has called me and has reinstated me. I am in praise and worship. My diary was copied and, you know, put online and sent to everybody in this city of Sacramento.
What?
Let me,
let me just, is this like a dream you're telling us about or it actually happened?
No, I'm telling you a reality. You can probably a lot of people
and put it online.
Yes, and not the very good stuff, the worst stuff you can think of possible, put online. And you know, I thank God for my pastor because you know I felt like I had been stripped naked in front of a marketplace. You know, I was put on this pedestal in the marketplace, totally nude. That's what I felt. And I remember calling my pastor, and I was like, man, I can't do it anymore. You know, because when I got on the altar that Sunday to minister, I mean, I knew people could see right through me. You know, the Dorothy they had looked at last week is not the Dorothy that they saw that particular Sunday after that incident happened. And, you know, I thank God so much for Apostle Martin because he told me, Dorothy, let me tell you, I am ready to lose a membership, but I am not ready to let you go. Because if I let you go for one Sunday, you will never be back. And this man stood with me. And, you know, like I told you, you're raised Anglican. I was very conservative, though I was Pentecostal. And for the first time, I really did understand why Pentecostals call people spiritual fathers. Because this man stood with me and had his name dragged in the mat worse than mine was. But what I didn't realize was that that incident had to happen for God to even put me in the media. Because once I was given a platform where I could actually be useful to anybody that was listening, you know, we can chit-chat all day. But if what I'm saying has no effect on a listener, then I might as well go to bed. But I realized that the stuff that was out there was a way of God setting me free. Because, you know, I might become, you know, really big someday and this material just materializes. But right now in my life, there is nothing I won't talk about. You know, there is nothing about my promiscuity. There is nothing about my life in the world that I will not talk about because I know that there is somebody that's going through the same exact thing that I went through and doesn't know how to get out. So that's it right there.
God. That is, boy, you are a brave lady, Miss Dorothy. So you know who did that and how do you relate to that person now who exposed you like that?
You know, one thing that God has dealt with me is on issue of forgiveness because the person that did that to me was very, very close to me and there was no moving on with my life without forgiving. And today we're actually very, very close and I thank the person really, literally almost every day because they made me. You know, I would have never been, because you know, when you do something wrong, when you sin against God and you alienate yourself from him and you've already tasted of his goodness, the coming back is so hard. And you always feel like there's that cloud of pretense because there is always, you know, when you see somebody, you don't see the whole of them. You see what they present, you know. But for me, I have that freedom now of when somebody sees me, they already know me. You know, they know the me that slept around. They know the me that drunk. They know the me that did all these crazy things. And I can say that if Jesus can forgive me and reinstate me to the capacity that he has reinstated me, there is nothing he cannot do for anybody, you know. So forgiveness was a must.
One of the things that really touches me, I love the honor you have for your pastor because I remember even when I met you 2 years ago here in Dallas at the Victor Chapel, well, you know, when you spoke of your pastor, it was with so much respect You know, as blessed as you are, you know, here you are, you're ministering, you're getting all this attention, but you're very conscious about having a covering, about accountability, about, and that is very incredible, because usually anointed people feel they're all set, don't need nobody, they don't need no one telling them nothing. So talk to us about that. What is the importance of a covering?
You know, my dad,
my dad
is a pastor, you know, so I'm a PK. And I remember one time my dad taking me to school, you know, he would drop me off at high school and we got in the car. And he asked me, and to this day, I've asked him that question 20,000 times, but he will never give me an answer. And he looked at me and he goes like, baby, who do you think my friends are? And I mentioned a few names that I thought were people that were his friends. And he told me, I want you to know this day forth that those are my worst persecutors. Now, I have grown up watching my father, and like I told you last Tuesday, you know, I'm born again because I believe that Jesus lived in our house, you know, because I saw him through my dad. You know, he never literally picked up the Bible and, you know, clobbered us on the head with it. And I saw people that decided to stand with him. And I can assure you, Prophetess Mwaka, those people are still standing today. May it be financially, may it be health-wise, may it be, you know, whatever way. So for me, with Pastor Martin, you know, having been brought up from that environment, the next pastor that I served under, except my father, was Pastor Martin. And he's standing with me and covering me, you know, because there were times, you know, I would have cost him the church, you know, because of things that just started coming up. You know, we had, you know, at the time my husband and I, our marriage was going through rocks. And I remember it was a very public affair. And the elders would actually tell him, you know, she needs to step off the altar, go sort her problems and come back. And pastor would say no, you know. So for me, and the strength that I have to stand even in my weakness is because I've had a man that has been my father away from my father. So I know the secret of the fact that the glory and any anointing that is upon my life is because I have served and continue to serve under this man. You know, and I cannot be anything without that.
But, you know, many people, when they have a platform, a voice, a new CD, you know, like, say, for example, your pastor says, you know, Dorothy, I think you've been really going. Why don't you just take the weekend to rest? Tell them, you know, to invite you maybe in 3 months. How would you react to that?
You know, I really don't know how I would react to that, to tell you the truth, but... You know, what happened to me was, and this is how I believe that God had his hand in everything. My husband got a job, you know, because he had been looking for jobs that he, you know, that he craved for, but would not get it in Sacramento. And when he moved, you know, he was like, babe, we're moving. And I'm like, no, you're moving. I'm not moving. Because, I mean, the House of Glory Church was everything to me. I mean, my kids loved it. I was the prison worship minister. I mean, how, you know, you just wake up one morning and decide you got a job, we got to move. So he moved and he got an apartment in San Francisco, and he would come home every Friday. And let me tell you, it became so hard, because obviously I was now acting like a single mother. It became so difficult that I gave in, and I was like, you know, I think I was wrong. I can't deal with this, you know, taking the kids here, dropping them here. And really, I felt in my spirit that my place was with my husband, you know, because I was, there was really no reason, you know, legitimate reason that I was refusing to go, because, you know, he had gotten his dream job, and it was really going to be, it was going to work out for our good, ultimately. So when we moved from Sacramento and came to Fairfield, God had orchestrated it in a way that Pastor Joshua and Pastor Alice had just come from home. So actually, and we had become so close that even in my absence, I was really not missed when I moved. because there was that continuity of ministry. But when when I would go to church and when we'd practice together, I would still be a part of it, and I am still a part of it. So for me, really, it was God orchestrated so that in a way it gives me a lot of freedom. But I will always tell him, you know, if I'm invited, if there is definitely an event that is going on in church that demands for me to be there, I will not hesitate to say no to an invitation. Definitely not. Yeah.
Well, as in church takes priority.
For my definitely, my church takes priority. Because
wow.
That's what my kids see. You know, my kids don't see me on the road. My kids don't see me on the, you know, they might hear me on the radio, but they don't get me right now, you know. So church is what they see. And church is what I saw when I was growing up. So that for me is the most important thing. And for any person that thinks that they can sing or, you know, go out and, you know, be evangelist without a covering, you know, like I said, it's a wreck waiting to happen, you know, because at the end of the day, Pastor Martin will call me up and he'll give me a word, and it might not necessarily be what I want to hear, but it's what I need to hear. And when we lack that accountability, you know, we become our own worst enemy because, you know, I mean, fame will get in people's heads. And like for me, I've been a great, great opposer of the music that is coming from Kenya, you know, right now. And I have obviously mentioned names and rubbed people the wrong way. But I don't really understand why anybody would sing a song that draws attention to themselves other than the man Jesus Christ himself, bottom line, period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is why this program, well, let me just say, in case you have just tuned in, this is Solutions here on Zambia Block Talk Radio. And our special guest is Mrs. Dorothy Matura Kimani from beautiful Fairfield, California. And we are continuing with part two of Young Movers and Shakers. Now, Dorothy, to be a mover and a shaker, that is somebody who's also willing to take a stand. To me,
yeah.
A mover and a shaker is not just a famous person, somebody who has
a
platform. One thing I love and respect about you is you're not afraid to speak your mind, even if everybody's like, oh, no, you can't say that. You're like, listen, this is it. I'm going to say it. But you say it in love. You know, you bring correction.
Yeah.
And to me, that is a mover and a shaker because we're living in a generation where there's just too much compromise, too many double standards.
Yeah.
And, you know, my passion is like, let the church be the church. Let us have integrity.
Exactly.
Let us be... You know, so people want to be famous. They want to be celebrities. But, you know, like you have many people looking up to you. But I believe one of the areas they respect you is their ability to speak the truth and to stand alone. You know, sometimes as leaders, not everybody agrees with us. You just have to stand alone.
Yes, yes. And I have definitely stood alone, and I was telling one of my friends who just got into ministry that one of the greatest things that ministers go through is loneliness, you know?
Yeah.
Because you've got to be careful who you trust. You've got to be careful who you let in, because to some point you become God's property, and he's a jealous God, you know? And the price that I can say I have paid myself for being as open as I have is it has cost me some friendships, which I definitely know needed to go. Because, you know, when they say, show me your friends and I'll show you who you are, you know, I'm not comfortable in the company of people that are not glorifying God, because you become accountable not just to yourself, but to everybody else. Because when you start speaking, you really have to put your, is it your mouth where your money is? Is that what they say? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really do have to do that. And that openness, you know, at the end of the day, when you go home, you'll be like, did I do the wrong thing? Did I do the right thing? But at the end of the day, I would rather you hear it from me than have me say to somebody, because I was actually telling my husband, since I've been a woman, you know, grown up woman, I have never had anybody call me on my house phone and said, you said, believe it or not. I have never had anybody say, Dorothy, I heard that you said. Because if I have something to tell you, trust and believe me, you won't hear it from somebody else. You will hear it from me. So, you know, for me, you know, I mean, life is not black and white. There are definitely shades of gray. But I find that from where God has brought me to where he has placed me now, I cannot afford to go back. And I cannot afford, you know, like somebody said, to prostitute the stand or the anointing that he has placed over my life.
How do you respond, you know, to criticism? And let me just say, it's so interesting as we are preparing for this conference.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. You know, you think people are celebrating, and unfortunately,
yeah.
I mean, some of the comments you hear, and I just thank God I have thick skin, but I never used to be like that. You know, in my early days of ministry, oh, any small thing, I would be crying, I would be so upset, I would quit.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, the more you criticize, I'm like, oh, come on, Holy Ghost, let's make this happen.
Yes.
It stirs me and ignites my fire. Because
yeah.
I didn't call myself. The Lord called me. So, and it's amazing how people love status quo. They like, you know, everybody to just be the same cookie cutter. But God has called us to be unique and different.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what I saw when I came to your anniversary. You know, your panel, you are all very different, but you flowed so beautifully.
Yeah. And that's what I believe Maggie's vision, you know, was and is for Talanta, you know, to have people of different age groups, but, you know, have a view and be able to talk about it. And like you're saying, it's funny because today I got somebody sent a word that we lied or put Willie Paul on the poster for the Talanta anniversary so that we could actually fill the hall. And, you know, the person that was telling me was actually expecting me to be very angry. And see, there's a really irritating thing about me. I laugh a lot. You know, I laugh like when I'm in shock. I laugh when I'm happy and I laugh, you know, and I think it's as I get older and I just burst out in laughter. And I'm like, really? Wow. And obviously, I'm not going to react in front of this person. But as soon as this person left, man, I was like, you know, I need to call this guy and ask him who said that, you know, because I would really like to tell that person a piece of my mind, you know. And I was so furious because I know that Willie Paul was supposed to be at the event, but due to unavoidable circumstances, he did not get there. And then by the time I come home, I'm like, I don't have to defend myself to anybody. You know, and I was thinking of making a public declaration on Facebook and doing whatever, but I've come to realize that I have fought so much, Prophetess Mwaka. I have fought so much, really, in a spiritual and in a physical, literally, that I don't have it in, I don't have anything in me to fight anymore. You know, let God fight the fight for me. You know, and there's always going to be somebody that's going to say something. And if it doesn't arouse an emotion in you, you know, I would be so lying, you know. But when I come to, I remember the occasion and the anointing of God, you know, that flowed on that day. You were there, the word that you brought forth and how blessed, you know, the majority of the people were. But I know that there are people that intentionally did not come, but intentionally sent people that would report to them how the event was, praying that the event would flop. So even you obviously have the same, you know, we deal with the same drama wherever you go. But I so strongly believe that God cannot embarrass us. You know, once he's called you and anointed you for a season such as this, there is no way. Because if I get embarrassed, it's him on the line too, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit, Miss Dorothy, about the price that we pay. Because, you know, people you know, sometimes they see you traveling, or like how they saw, you know, the whole Talanta anniversary. It was so beautiful. You were just there, yeah, in your flowing gown, looking like chocolate Cinderella. I mean, they just, they have no idea. You know, everybody wants to be famous, wants a platform, wants to be on radio, but boy, is there a price to pay. Talk to, because that's part of being a mover and a shaker. It's having that,
yeah,
tremendous price to pay. Talk to us a little bit about that.
I mean, you definitely, I mean, the price that you pay is that, first of all, you know, if you're married, you have to show your partner what it is that you're doing and what it is that's in it for him, or if you're the man, for her, you know. And I think for me that was the greatest fight that I had to fight to prove myself to my husband. And I remember on Saturday, Prophetess Mwaka, well, that was the first time my husband actually said, you know what, I actually believe in you now, you know, when he saw us pull that thing off. Because all along he says, you know, you lock yourself up and waste all this time doing all these things that you do, you know. And then obviously there is the cost that you pay of taking time away from your children. Because, like, yeah, I remember when Angie came from New York, she came in on Wednesday, and she said this, and it really took me by surprise, because I remember we would come home after 3 a.m. and be at the door at 10 a.m. And I remember she said after in one of our post meetings that one thing that shook her was my baby, my 3-year-old, asking her, Auntie, you guys are leaving again? You know, and that hurt her to her core, you know, because the whole week my kids did not see me, you know. And obviously it makes you feel like half a woman, because, you,
yeah,
know, you want to be there, tuck them into bed, you want to be there to do whatever it is. And obviously your spouse also has to pay the price of what you do, because my husband has to step in and do the homework. But we have a routine. He takes the kids to school. I pick them up. We do the homework. We do the dinner. And all of a sudden, within this span of time, he has to be me. So there is a lot. But ultimately, you know, like my dad said, you know, we're all beneficiaries. Your family is also a beneficiary of the work
exactly.
that you put into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it might look like it's glamorous, but it really isn't. Because let me tell you, like, we were so tired, we were ready to sleep, you know. But when you walk in, you know, when you wear the dress and you wear the makeup and you're ready to go. And then afterwards, you know, like, we did dinner with you and we were so excited. Because, like, for me, let me tell you, you are, like, one of my greatest heroes. And I'm not even just saying that. Because, and I said this last week. And my husband is still in shock that I can actually call you on your cell phone, because you are so big and yet you're so small. And I think for me, that has got to be the secret of what serving in the kingdom is. You've got to
yeah.
be big and yet so small. So
right.
when I look at someone like you, I mean, I might, and this is what I say, Prophetess Mwaka, I might never be famous, and that's not even my goal, to be famous. But I will do what I've been called to do at this time that I've been called to do it. Because obviously, if I wait for somebody else to do it, they might be waiting for somebody else to do it. Why don't I just go ahead and do it? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
for me, you and obviously other women, you know, that are in the ministry are iconic. So for people like us that are upcoming or even trying to do a quarter of what you do, we are looking up to you. You know, and
wow.
the far you go, the farther you go, the farther we follow.
Yes.
Most definitely.
And we
yes.
want you all to even do better, you know, do better, do greater. I mean, I think the new generation are just amazing. I mean, my boys sometimes, they just, I mean, they're talking about the latest Instagram. I'm like, Insta who? I mean,
yeah.
they're just, you know, so with it. I mean, I knew nothing. So this generation is definitely bright and brilliant. But, you
yes.
know, as I said last week, we have to be approachable, because, I mean, if we are mentors to people and if people are looking up for us, I mean, you know, it doesn't cost much. Actually, I love that intimate fellowship after, because I'm sure you notice I ask a lot of questions. So I love that time together where we can just relax and laugh and did you see this and all. Oh, to me, that is actually the highlight. You know,
of
that
the event,
with Pastor Ken, Pastor Jerry, it was just awesome.
Yes. It was beautiful.
And in ministry, you know, we need friends, because there's so many people, they travel all over, but they don't really have, you know, people who they can call friends.
Yes.
And that is so, so important. That, you know, as much as we are touching nations and touching multitudes, God has opened these doors, we need that core group. You know, we need sometimes just to sit back and relax and laugh. You know, whenever I go to Kenya, one of my highlights, I went to Loreto Convent in Songari, and so me and my friends are still in touch, my high school friends. So before I even preach or anything, I just get together with my school friends. Dorothy, if you saw us, you'd be like, is that you? I mean, we are just giggling, laughing. Love it, because they allow me to be me as much as they know I'm a and they're like, you haven't changed. You're still happy. And, you know, I used to get sent out of class because I was always cracking jokes. So they were really worried that when I got saved, I would be all and serious. And two of them have actually gotten saved. They're like, wow, you know, this born again thing is not too bad. You're still smiling. You're
Amen.
Still, you know.
Amen. Because I'm big on that. I am big on that. You know, a woman's got to step out in her lipstick and her or lip gloss and, you know, do your hair. I mean, be a representation of the kingdom that we serve. You know, so get your weave on, get yourself looking good for the kingdom. You know, I am a firm believer of that. And see, you know, people think I'm funny. I don't think I'm funny, but, you know, because I talk so much, sometimes I trip over my own words and I wouldn't even remember what I said like 10 minutes ago. But that's the reality that a lot of people are able to identify with. If, like, we go to work, like, at work, they call me Bishop, or, like, if they're talking about something and I'm approaching, you know, they'll be quiet. Like, I remember some girls talking about the Mardi Gras, you know, this thing they do, I don't know where. And I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to them with my mouth wide open, and I am thinking, man, the devil has no shame. You know, when I'm hearing what these girls are going to wear, but no, this is a replica that happens in Sacramento. And I'm standing there, and they saw the shock on my face, and I look at them. I'm like, you guys are actually going to dress like whores and go out naked? I mean, doesn't that just call for men to want to rape you or misuse you? And they're trying to convince me how fun this event is. And seriously, Prophetess Mwaka, I got so angry, you know, not at them. When I got home, I got so angry because I realized that might be my son in a few years to come unless I step up and do something about it, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was so funny that I was so almost crying and in tears when I was talking to these girls. And one of them came and told me, Dorothy, you know, I was getting my drink cone and I just got convicted. I am not going to go. And I was like, now we need to work on the drink, but I'm glad you're not doing the Mardi Gras, whatever thing they call it. I don't even know what they call it, you know. But that realness, we've got to keep that, you know. The over-spiritualization is the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know. We live in the real world and have to address real issues. And I think that's why the church is not growing anymore. Because we still want to be holier than thou. You know, we don't have room to accommodate things but ourselves. Whereas the church really is supposed to be for the wounded, you know, for the hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Ms. Dorothy, I know there are people who are longing to ask questions, so at this time we wanted to open it up to you, our wonderful Solutions family. I know you've been so enriched by Miss Dorothy. Please feel free to ask her questions. Our topic tonight is young movers and shakers, and Miss Dorothy is definitely one of those making an impact, touching lives, just being her, but being her very well. And so if you're here tonight, Miss Chico, can you help us if there are any calls or any questions on Facebook?
Yeah, thank you so much, Dorothy. It's wonderful just listening to you and how open you are. And I want to say I'm really enjoying it. I was really blessed. And especially the story on forgiveness, because many of us, it's very hard for people to forgive, and they feel like this other person wronged me. But what happens is you just carry this burden on your shoulder forever and ever, but they don't know the freedom and the liberty that comes from forgiving. So that was really, really powerful, just forgiving.
Amen.
And listeners, we don't have any listeners right now, but I mean any people with questions, but we'd just like to encourage you, if you're on the line and you have a question for Dorothy or a comment, something you would like to add, kindly press 1 and we shall call your number out. I don't have any questions right now.
So, Dorothy, how do you deal with the criticism? Because I know you were doing the radio for about a year.
Yeah.
And of course, you're very outspoken and you say what's on your mind and not everybody likes it. So when people now Facebook you and say you shouldn't have said that, how could you? How do you respond to them or you ignore them?
Well, actually, I remember when I talked about Jimmy Gates and his recent video, Makeke. I got 5 very hateful inboxes that told me to get over myself. I'm just jealous I'll never be as big as Jimmy Gates. And some of them were very vulgar. I can't even repeat the words that they said. And you know, I do respond, and I'm like, I mean, first of all, to me, it's amusing, really, that someone would actually get that offended. And I'm not even talking about you. I'm talking about a video that I saw that I didn't really approve of. And I just respond and say, you know, thank you so much, and I value your response. God bless you. And that just infuriates some of them more, you know. And they say the same thing again, or they think I didn't get what they said first. So I will recopy the message again. Thank you very much for your comment, and God bless you. And, you know, and obviously I'll probably have my husband with me, and he wants to chip in, you know. But then I know that next week we're going to be on radio. And sometimes I will actually be like, you know, I got this hate mail and these people said, you know, I should get a life and I'll never be as big as Jimmy Gates. You know, I am not in competition with Jimmy Gates. So criticism is good. And I know that I've hit a nerve, and that's what I'm here to do. You know, get you thinking. I mean, come on. If I turn the TV off, like Patrick likes to say, if you mute a video and the video does not portray Christ or does not minister to you when the volume is muted, then, you know, do another video, because what you're doing is obviously very far away from what you should be doing. So for me, criticism is healthy. I definitely think so, because I'm my worst critic anyway.
You are?
Yeah, I am my worst critic, because I listen to every one of my shows. And I say, I should not have said that. I should have said that differently. Maybe I need to change my voice. But then I'm like, I get on next Sunday, next Tuesday, next Thursday, my voice is still the same. I'm still talking the same. I'm like, well, you just better get used to this woman, because she ain't living.
You know, I was watching you 2 weeks ago in Sacramento during the praise and worship, and you looked like you wanted to burst, Dorothy. You were so happy and just
I was
full of enthusiasm, and you know, you were like shaking.
That's me.
I mean, nobody can be depressed around you, I'm telling you. Just so
amen.
And, you know, I loved how you and Joshua, you know, and normally, you know, when you tell a man he's short, most men get really offended. But I love how he just kind of laughed it off and, you know, I mean, he took it so well. But obviously,
let me tell you,
relationship.
Mm-hmm. The story between Pastor Joshua and I is when Pastor Joshua came from home, him and his wife thought they had seen a mad woman, you know, because they had never heard somebody as loud as me in prison worship. And then I had just had my son. When I was pregnant, I had such gorgeous skin. When this baby came out, I got skin that looked like I had chicken pox. So I remember going to say hi to them. I remember going to say hi to them. And like 3 weeks later, Joshua's wife, Pastor Alice, was like, man, you know, when I met you at first, I got really scared. I'm like, why? Because you're so loud and your skin. And, oh, my God, I wanted to die. You know, I was seriously wanted to die. Yes. And then Josh would not stop talking about my height. And I'm like, dude, you keep talking about my height and my high heels. These are not going anywhere. You probably need to get some. You know, if you got some high heels on, it'll probably be the same height. You know, so we started that vibe of, you know, you're a short man, I'm a tall woman. Let's just get used to it.
Oh, what an introduction. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so he's good. He's good.
Okay, I understand we have two callers here. You and I are just laughing away and people want to ask you questions. Go ahead, Ms. Chico.
Yes, the first caller, area code 845. Your last four digits are 7851. You're welcome.
Hi, everybody. This is Angie, and I'm calling in. I'm calling in from New York. Hi,
Alfonso
Marta
welcome.
And Dorothy.
Hey, well, baby girl.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Mine actually is not a question. I just want to say, you know, Dorothy to me is like my big sister, and I've learned so much just by, you know, from the time I met her and, you know, like ministering together, and she's been this person who's been pushing me. You know, sometimes you do have dreams that, you know, you're thinking, I really want to be here, I really want to get to do this, and you definitely need these people who are going to push you to the next level, who are going to tell you, you can actually do this. But sometimes what happens is we do get to dream big, but we second doubt ourselves, and then we just forget about our dreams. But Dorothy is that one person who's going to push you, and she will leave everything else just to make sure that you actually, you know, achieve your dream. So, Dorothy, thank you so much. And, you know, we're praying for your ministry as well, and, you know, for God to continue blessing you in many ways as you continue to bless others.
Love you.
Precious. Thank you, Angie, for calling in. You see, you have a serious fan club, Miss Dorothy.
And I am her greatest fan, too. We had little Miss Africa, New York.
And that's another thing. It's so beautiful to see women celebrating women. I noticed that, too, among you all, you are complimenting each other. I mean, and real, you know, not fake, but, the, you know, real. That is just so beautiful. That is just cute.
Like, I was telling Angie, I got so many proposals on her behalf because, like, guys went gaga, goo-goo over this girl, you know, because I was telling her, to be real, I knew Angie was cute, but Angie wore this black dress, and she wore these red heels, and I was like, Jesus. Okay, now I see why she's Miss Africa, New York. She's just so gorgeous and so, you know, she's the total opposite of me, you know. I'll go somewhere with Angie and she doesn't even talk. And I'm like, Dorothy, shut up.
I remember at the dinner, Missy, Angie was so well-behaved. You and I were yapping away, and Angie looking at you, looking at me, looking at you.
And that's her. And that's her.
Oh, Angie, I hope we didn't scare you off, sweetie, at that dinner.
No, I actually loved it. I loved it. And, I actually recall and replay that moment that we had. And I'm like, oh, man, I wish we had longer time because it was just a wonderful fellowship together.
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it was.
As I was saying, yeah, that was really my highlight. Oh, it was so precious, that moment of connecting and just sharing heart to heart.
That's
yeah,
true.
I did have it. Thank you so much, Angie, for your comment. I believe we have another caller.
We actually have three callers.
Three?
Yes, three.
Callers, where have you been? We have like
it's
seven more
calls.
Minutes. Okay. All righty.
I'm laughing because you and Dorothy are unstoppable. You keep talking. Okay. Area code 510. Your last four digits are 1161. You're welcome.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everyone.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This is another Jesus addict all the way from San Francisco. I want to say hi to all of you. How are you doing?
Very well.
This is so awesome that I've been listening to you guys. Though I came in late, but I just want to, I don't have a question, but I want to say something. And I want to say it, you know, strongly, like what Dorothy said about forgiveness. I know forgiveness unlocks every blessing in your life if you forgive. She's a witness that, I have, like for me, I have gone through so much, especially in our side here. But God has been faithful. And after forgiveness, I have seen all the blessings come down into my life from my, you know, from my health, from my looks, and everything comes in perfect.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. So we need to know that forgiveness is the key to everything, is the key to all blessings. Secondly,
yes.
I want to talk about the music she's talking about. It is very true, and that is so unfortunate that people in the gospel industry are Jesus addicts. I am a gospel artist, and surely people have been doing music, gospel music, which is related to God because they were brought in, they were brought up in church, but it is not God music. And so I think we need to get serious and into the business of, you know, preaching the real word, singing the real word, and not doing what other worldly people are doing. And
yes.
That way God is going to, you know, we are going to do godly stuff. Otherwise, most of the people we have, they are doing music, some music like, you know, some music that is related to God. It looks like it's related to God because for sure they were brought in, they were brought up in church, but if you look at it more scrutinizingly, you will find out that it is not God's music. And so I always urge everybody to be addicted to Jesus, and that way you will be able to sing music that is related to God. Because when you become addicted to Jesus, you have to, you know, it is a personal devotion to God beyond standard commitment. And it is accomplished by receiving God's grace continually through applied habits of continual personal trusting, faith in Jesus Christ. We must always take heed of the symptoms that you know, of withdrawal from God by responding to Him and responding to having occasional overdoses in inviting the Holy Spirit in our life in a daily basis. And that way, I'm going to close and say that in Ephesians 5:18, we have been advised that be not drunk with wine, but wherein in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So let us be addicted to ministry. Let us be addicted to scripture reading, addicted to praising God, addicted to prayer, addicted to fellowship in the assembly, and addicted even to evangelism when we are doing our music. And God is going to continue blessing us. Thank you so much, everyone. Tata Shiko, Pastor Mwaka, Dorothy, Aji Lady. It was awesome meeting you in Sacramento, and I'm looking forward to meet you guys.
Amen. But let me just tell you, Solution Family, I was so touched by Brother Ben. He dances with his sons, and
yes.
I thought that absolutely incredible. And he actually is a better dancer than his sons. I mean, what a way to
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to let the miracle boys allow me to dance with them, and they're like, no, Mama. But that was awesome. And so I had announced But our upcoming conference, April the 17th to the 20th, I believe Miss Dorothy is coming. Miss Angie may come. So we need you, Brother Ben. Come celebrate with us in Dallas, Texas. This is where God lives.
Oh, you thought he lives here?
No.
Okay. How many more callers do we have, Miss?
We have two more callers. I'll start with area code 347. Your last four digits are 9781. You're welcome.
Hi, this is Cassidy from New York. I was just waiting on Polly Odote to speak tonight, but I didn't get to hear her. Is she gonna be here tonight?
No, next week. It's next week. Yes. Yes, so we were doing Young Movers and Shakers Part 1 and Part 2 with Dorothy. And then we're going to do Polly next week. Yes.
Alrighty. Thank you so much. That's all for today.
You are so welcome. God bless you.
God bless you too. Bye.
Okay, our next call.
Okay. Area code 732. Your last four digits are 8207.
Hi. I was just wondering how come Polly Odote didn't perform tonight, or she didn't speak tonight? Excuse me.
Yes, sir. As I told the previous caller, it's for next week. I don't know if you saw our posting on Facebook. We started with Dorothy last week, and then we were continuing this week. So Miss Polly will be on next week. We wanted to give her that 4 hour. So just tune in next week, and she will be right here on Solutions.
All right. Thank you. I'll be looking forward to it.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
I met Miss Polly at the Talanta 2 weeks ago, the same place where Dorothy and Angie were, and she's also a young mover shaker. I was just so blown away by the ministry she started. I think it's called Hope for the Hurting.
Yes.
Right, just ministering to teenagers and just all the different issues they go through. And she was telling me she has a very large, large following, but she's only 18 years old, very mature. So we thank God for what God is doing in this generation. You know, people are not waiting until they're in their 30s to begin fulfilling their destiny. They are stepping out and doing it now. So as we come to our
We have one more.
Oh, okay. I was going to have Miss Dorothy give one.
Hold on. This is Pastor Nathan, so let him say something.
Nathan, welcome, my friend and my brother.
Thank you. Thank you, Prophetess. Let me just say that, first of all, Miss Dorothy and everybody on the forum, Pastor, I'm just enjoying you and Dorothy laughing and having fun. It's important. It's very, very important. And how you're just going on, you know, having fun. Then secondly, you know, the part that you talked about, your pastor standing with you has stood out so much for me for various reasons which are personal. Pastor Mwaka will understand because she knows some things that I've shared with her in my life. I just want you to zero in a little bit about that and just talk to us, as of course we are concluding. Let's see how much that has sort of like, you know, made such a significant impact on your life, having somebody stand up with you in such a seemingly, let's say, big mess about what you talked about, your life being put out there. I mean, this is a very destructive generation we are living in right now. The devil is lethal. He's not playing games. So I just wanted you to comment on that point, and I just wanted also to tell you that the aspect about forgiveness is very powerful.
Yes.
I mean, For me, obviously, it was definitely very profound, you know, having somebody believe, you know, in me enough to say that you're not going anywhere. that is where you've been called to be, and I will not have you step down for whatever reason or because of your, you know, of your past. So definitely, I think when pastors shun away somebody because of something that has happened or that is going on in their life, it can be either destructive or life-changing, and for me it was definitely life-changing. You know, which takes me to the book of Luke, chapter 7, you know, when Jesus went to the Pharisees' house to have dinner, and, you know, the prostitute came in and, you know, had her tears washed, you know, she washed the feet of Jesus with her tears and then wiped, you know, dried them up with her hair and put, you know, such expensive perfume. You know, that woman could be any one of us. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus looked at, when the Pharisee looked at Jesus, it was like, I mean, how do you let this thing, this, you know, this prostitute, this whore, for lack of a better word, you know, touch your feet and even have her tears, because it's a bodily fluid, touch your feet. And Jesus asked the guy, I mean, if, you know, if somebody owed you a little money or and another owed you a lot, and you forgive both people that owed you, you know, which one of them do you think, you know, would love you more? And obviously the answer was the person that owed the debtor more would definitely be more appreciative of the forgiven debt. And for me, that's what I saw. You know, I saw somebody that was able to see past that, you know, past what was and had been. And I really don't think I'd be anywhere close to where I am today without that stand that he made.
That's very, very powerful, because most of us, the easiest thing would be to have nothing to do with that person. That's the easiest thing to do. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Pastor Nathan. Oh, Miss Dorothy, this hour goes by too quickly. But the good news, Solutions family, you will actually get to meet Miss Lovely Dorothy face-to-face at the Fresh Aroma Conference here in Dallas, Texas, April 17th to 28th. She's also a gospel recording artist. And even though the schedule is full, I know either Friday afternoon or Sunday morning, we want to hear the anointed voice. I tell you, she gets lost when she begins to praise. Oh, my goodness. She sings for Jesus. Forget the rest of you. But, Dorothy, we want to say thank you so much for being so real, so loving, and just your passion, your enthusiasm, your stand for God, and your heart for God's people is absolutely incredible. We just celebrate you. And we just thank God for many, many, many lives that you are touching and many more that you will touch. And we just want to say, just remain who you are, unique, hilarious, you know, shooting straight from the hip. Just do you. That's why God made Dorothy Machira Kimani. Don't let anybody tell you to tone it down, calm down like a lady. We love you with your radical self.
Thank you so much for having me. I mean, I couldn't be more honored.
Oh, and your wonderful team. Love to them all, Angie and Patrick and Pastor Josh. Would mind being teased about being short. I mean, now that is historical.
That's what he gets for teasing a woman.
I know. Well, we wish you well in your upcoming endeavors, and we would definitely have you back.
Oh, thank you so much. I would love to be back. Thank you so much for having me over. I'm so honored.
The Solutions family, oh, they make a demand. They're always like, okay, we need that one. We want to hear more. And as people have said, what you shared on forgiveness and just your love for pastor is just, it's beautiful. What a testimony.
Amen.
So we want to say thank you so much to those of you who tuned in. We appreciate you. Like our page on Facebook, Solutions Radio. We have flooded the whole of Facebook with our conference flyer, our 10th annual
prophetic conference. Again, the conference is free, but you do have to register in advance for the breakfast. Go on to our website for more info, fresharomaministry.org. We look forward to hosting you in beautiful Sunshine, Dallas, Texas, where God lives and where all the good-looking people live. You don't want to miss us. And miss April 17th to the 20th. Thank you again, Miss Dorothy. We love and appreciate you.
Thank you.
And Solutions family, let's remain in touch. Everyone have a good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. Okay.